of being alive right now at this time in Earth's history, and the joys that we have of being a part of the loud cry that will happen just before Jesus comes again. My name is Rob Griffin. I get to be the music director at Milo Adventist Academy, which was something that I didn't expect when the school year first started, because I got called after school year started. And it's been a joy to be here, to be a part and to stand in front of groups like this that we'll be sharing this morning. My apologies, somewhere along the line, I don't know where it got caught in the translation everything, but that was not the scripture reading that I sent, which was odd, but God still blesses anyway. You are a spectacle to men and to angels, as it says, and God has given that. It was actually 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verses 5 and on to 11, which becomes, puts it together in a little bit different light. We'll add to what we've already heard, but it says there, "For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus our Lord, and ourselves as your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, 'Light, let light shine out of the darkness,' is the one who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure." Isn't that good news? We have this treasure where? In earthen vessels, that the surpassing greatness of the power may be of God and not of ourselves. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not despairing. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of Jesus, that the life of Jesus may be manifested in our body. For we who live are constantly being delivered over to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. The secret is learning to die, because God is looking for living sacrifices, amen, not dead sacrifices. And we have the privilege now of allowing the Spirit of God, who, when Jesus said, remember long ago, he said to his disciples, "It is expedient that I leave," because he's captive, forever captive in a human body. And when he leaves, then we must depend on the Holy Spirit's presence. And ladies and gentlemen, instead of there being one Jesus on the face of the earth, there can be thousands, because Jesus actually comes and lives his life in and through us. As that old hymn says, "Live out thy life within me, O Jesus, King of Kings." And ladies and gentlemen, we need to get those old hymns out, blow the dust off of them, and let the truths sink into our hearts, that we do not forget that God is looking for his church to be living sacrifices. So that's the burden that I've got on my heart, and I hope that the message comes through loud and clear today as our One Voice group is singing and as our bells are sharing with all their heart. And Sterling's the first man on board here today. And if you guys will step up onto the top step and then kind of bring it down this way. Squeeze on in a little bit. Come down, Patty. Come down over here. Okay, not down. Go ahead.
Well, we know that what Mr. Griffin just read from that verse in 2 Corinthians, it's about sacrificing ourselves for Jesus and giving up ourselves to let him take over our lives. And, we hear about that in our Sabbath school lessons or other church services and sermons and whatever. But something happens whenever we try it, and it's strange. And we wonder, you know, people will say, well, is there anything real in Christianity? No, people will say it's just a fake believing in all this stuff that doesn't really happen. Well, then why is it so difficult to read the Bible every day? Why is it so hard to pray for more than 5 minutes or something like that? Why do so few people talk about Jesus? And when we do talk about Jesus, why is it that so many people are against it? And it becomes something that's a burden to us even sometimes. Christianity definitely isn't, following Jesus is not something that's fake and without substance. There's real stuff going on. And we know it's a battle. Everybody who's tried to get to know Jesus for that purpose, just to come closer to him, we have all come against the powers of evil keeping us from that goal, because that one thing, getting to know Jesus, will lead us into all truth, and there will be nobody who could stop us from spreading his light to the world. And that's the battle we want to fight, is getting to know Jesus. We don't want to fight to force the Sabbath over the world. We don't want to fight to make sure everybody understands that the dead are dead. We want to fight to get to know Jesus. And in doing that, his love will shine so brightly through us, nobody will be able to deny that the Bible is truth and that Jesus is in our lives and that he is real and that he knows what's right for us. So the song we're going to sing is called Bloodwash Band, and it's about being a band of Christian soldiers who are fighting against Satan every day. And we have to remember where the big fight is, where the real battle is. And if we're found on a different field, we'll probably lose. So we got to stick with the right field, which is getting to know Jesus.
Amen.
Swords flashed, loud shields crashed, began a great war that ripped and tore. It tore the heavens and cast one third out. Now great numbers mill and surge, seeking to know about the prince, the one who draws the whole earth. He has his army, it's those of the new birth. But there's only one battle. So don't be found lost, fighting apart from this field. For to the king, great wages you cost. There's only one battle. Don't run from the field. There's only one battle. Let us now never yield.
Amen.
Sabbath. My name is Holly, by the way. So throughout the week we have many trials, things that make us tired. You know how it is, work, or for students, school, and it's Sabbath. Amen?
Amen.
Yes. But you have a decision to make. You can focus on those things that get you upset, annoyed, or just sad because, you know, a lot of those things happen. Or you can recognize all the things that God has done. Last week, we were driving to Vanita, and I was just sitting in the bus, and, you know, it's a bus ride, just a bus ride. And I looked out the window, and there's these beautiful green hills, and there are flowers, and then pretty little houses, and a rainbow. I was just like, nice. That's so cool. And I don't know. It just, our next song is Count Your Blessings. And it's when on life's billows you are tempest tossed. When you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one. When you focus your time on counting your blessings, then you just realize how much God has done for you. You realize how much you can do yourself and how special you really are. So I just count your many blessings and listen to us as we count ours.
Amen.
Hello, my name is Kevin, and this song that we're gonna sing next, I heard it when I was around 7, 6 years old, and it was in a huge university with orchestra and huge choir, I mean. And that song was in my head for a long time, and there will be joy in the morning on that day. And as I grew up and I remember that song, I heard it many places as well. Those words kept getting in my head. There will be joy. You will be happy when Jesus comes. We'll be joyful. Many things are going to happen, but when Jesus comes, when we get to see him, it's going to be, I don't think there's a word to describe it. And yeah, these songs reminds me how amazing that day will be.
Amen.
Thank you. Okay, I'm Sarah Holland, and the song that we're going to be playing next is called Down in the River to Pray, and we have like a fun time playing this song, and hope you guys enjoy it.
All right, I'm Zach, and our next song is How Deep the Father's Love for Us. And a lot of you know it, but this one features something you've probably never seen in handbells before. It's called singing bells, where you take a dowel and rub it around the edge of your bell, and it creates vibrations and sounds really cool. So hope you enjoy.
Thank you.
Sabbath. This is one of my favorite songs. It's called "O Worship the King." My name is Crystal, by the way, and I love this song because not just because of so much of the technique and one of our biggest challenges, but because you also get a message out of it, because it shows you how much God loves music and speaking through music. So please enjoy it.
A music program isn't music unless you can contribute too. And sometimes we just need to lift our voices and praise the Lord together. There's a good old song that has been lost in the ages past that we haven't done much singing about lately. But it's a joyful one. And I think we ought to be lifting our voices to sing joyful songs, because not only what God has done for us in the past, what God has done for us right now in the present, but what He's going to be doing for us in the future. I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart.
down in my heart I've got the joy, 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 joy. Down in my heart, down in my heart to stand. I'm so happy, so very happy. I have the love of Jesus in my heart. And I'm so happy, so very happy. I have the love of Jesus in my heart. I know the devil doesn't like it, but it's down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart. Down in my heart. I know the devil doesn't like it, but it's down in my heart. Down in my heart to stay. And I'm so happy, so very happy. I have the love of Jesus in my heart. And I'm so happy, so very happy. I have the love of Jesus in my heart. I have the peace that passeth understanding down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart. Down in my heart. Peace that passeth understanding down in my heart. Down in my heart to stand. I'm so happy, so very happy. I have the love of Jesus in my heart. And I'm so happy, so very happy. I have the love of Jesus in my heart.
And that's good singing. Thank you, folks. And boy, this is only our first rehearsal. Wait till we all get together and do this. We have one of your home talent here that's going to share with us a song. Forrest and Sterling are going to share a song on the piano. You folks can go over there and sit down. And right after that, we have a bell solo. And she's in the process of getting set up here. So, Katie Beth, would you do me a favor and grab that microphone right there? My arm is just not long enough. Thank you.
So before me and Sterling sing the song, I just want to thank all of you who have supported me through my education, and I just want to thank you for all your prayers. Because of all of you, I have been able to have an Adventist education and come here and sing for you guys, and so I just thank you very much. Troubles come and my heart burdened be, then I am still and wait here in the silence until you come and sit a while with me. You raise me up so I can stand on mountains. You raise me up to walk on stormy seas. I am strong when I am on your shoulders. You raise me up to more than I can be. When I am down and oh my soul so weary, when troubles come and my heart burdened be, then I am still and wait here in the silence until you come and sit. Raise me up.
I can stand on mountains. You raise me up to walk on stormy seas. I am strong when I am on your shoulders. You raise me up to more than I can be. You raise me up so I can stand on mountains. You raise me up to walk on stormy seas. I am strong when I am on your shoulders. You raise me up to more than I can be. You raise me up to more than I can be.
You've already seen our assistant girls dean and handbell director, but I didn't formally introduce you to her. Her name is Taryn Johnson, and she didn't know she was going to be part of the music program this year, as I didn't know either. And it was one of those surprises. And even our piano player, who usually plays with us for One Voice, is not with us today. He's down in Grants Pass because he took over in the middle of the year and he already had an appointment. And so she has graciously agreed to play and put in hours of time to try and get these pieces together so she could accompany us. And so God has blessed us with that. And she has also been working with Amanda on learning to do solo work with the handbells. And so, anything you want to say about that at all?
Well, she's going to introduce the piece, but I'm not sure if anyone here in the church has even seen or knew that a handbell solo was possible. And so it's basically, she has an octave and a half to herself right now, where she's the only one that's going to play anything. And some of the solos go up to 3 octaves. So this is the third one that we've worked on. And the challenging part about soloing on handbells is if you play something on the piano, do the keys move? E is always where it's supposed to be. But guess what? If you ring this and then put it back over here and then try to find it, I have no idea where it is now. I'm going to put it back over here. It's right there. So it's definitely a challenge, and she's been working really hard and doing a great job. And one of our other bell ringers and also a violin player, Aaron, has graciously agreed to play the violin part. So this is actually a duet. It's a bell solo and a violin solo. So now you can introduce the song.
Okay, so as you know, my name is Amanda, and this song that I'm going to be playing is called Celtic Farewell. Hope you enjoy it. Thank you.
The next song that we're going to be doing this morning is called Isaiah 53, God Has Provided a Lamb. And this song kind of outlines the crucifixion story and the parallels that it has between Abraham and Isaac and lots of other things and all the emotional things that had to go through with that. I want to read a quick portion of a book called Mere Christianity. In this passage, the author is outlining what it means to repent, and that, quite frankly, it's not easy. How many of you have ever done something really, really mean on accident? Because we never do anything mean on purpose, right? And then afterwards, you have to ask for forgiveness. Does that feel good? Not when you're doing it, no. Afterwards, it feels great. And so what this author outlines is God's role in that process. And it says, without God, we can't do that. But the irony of repentance is that it takes a good man to repent, but good men don't need to repent. It's the bad ones. And so he says, unfortunately, we now need God's help in order to do something which God, in his own nature, never does at all. To surrender, to suffer, to submit, and to die. Nothing in God's nature corresponds to this process at all. So that one road for which we now need God's leadership most of all is a road God, in his own nature, has never walked. God can share only what he has. This thing in his own nature, he has not. But supposing God became a man, suppose our human nature, which can suffer and die, was amalgamated with God's nature in one person. Then that person could help us. And obviously, this person is Jesus. And he goes on to say how there are those who believe that it's unfair that Jesus was part God and part man because it was too easy for him. How can we expect God to understand anything, or Jesus to understand what it means to be human when he was part God? He had that advantage over us. And I like the illustration that he makes because he says, if I am drowning in a rapid river and a man who still has one foot on the bank may give me a hand which saves my life. Ought I to shout back, no, it's not fair, you have an advantage. You have one foot on the bank. That advantage, call it unfair if you like, is the only reason why he can be of any use to me. And he asks the question, to what will you look for help if you will not look to that which is stronger than yourself? And I like that quote because so many people are afraid of surrendering, of giving up all their problems and all the worry and all the stress of life to God because they want to handle it on their own, or they think that he doesn't really know what it means to be like one of us. And that's such a cliche term, but that's another point. But in surrendering our lives to God, we understand, we see the depth of love. Bells played a song called How Deep the Father's Love for Us. And once we just dwell on that idea, how deep it really was for him to be able to descend to our level and to give his son just so that we can be here today and we can sing for him and we can do all these things just for that specific purpose, even if there was only one of us here in this unnecessarily large church, if there were only one person, but even if there were only one of us here in this church, God would have still died for that one person. And I think that's a message in and of itself. And so as we sing the song, I ask you to listen to the words and to put yourself in the shoes of the characters who are in these stories from the Bible. In God's eyes, he was like a tender green shoot, sprouting from a root in dry and sterile ground. But in our eyes, there was no attractiveness at all, nothing to make us want him. We despised him and rejected him, a man of sorrows, acquainted with the bitterest grief. We turned our backs on him and looked the other way when he went by. Yet it was our grief he bore. Our sorrows weighed him down, and we thought his troubles were punishment from God for his own sins. We are the ones who strayed away like sheep, we who left God's path to follow our own. Yet God laid on him the guilt and sins of every one of us. Thank you.
How many of you guys have heard a trumpet? Okay, a few of you. You've heard a trumpet before. I guess most of you. You guys probably know a lot of the references in the Bible where trumpets are mentioned. I was listening to a sermon by a pastor named Jose Rojas, and he was talking about the trumpet that they use is an instrument called a shofar, and it's carved from the horn of some sort of antelope or creature they have there that has horns. I'm not entirely sure what. But it was carved from the horn, and it would when you blow the shofar, that was the call to worship. This song talks about, oh, when shall I see Jesus and reign with him above, and shall hear the trumpet sound in that morning. And the trumpet sounding symbolizes us being called to worship. We're being called to rise up with Christ on the second coming. And so this whole song is talking about the second coming. And if you listen hard and use your imagination, you can hear the trumpet. So listen for the morning trumpet.
I know we've kept you way over time, but we do have two more. Are you with us okay? Is that all right? Actually, we have about 10 more, but I won't. We tried to shorten it down here, but anyway. It was the middle of August. I was the head elder at a little church north of, way up by Portland, kind of west of Portland. And I was working maintenance. And we were in prayer meeting, and we were singing some of the old hymns out of Christ in Song. And I said, you know what, if I ever had the chance to be a choir director again, I had done it years before, last time was 2003. I said, if I ever had a chance, I would dress our choir in old costumes and go from church to church and try to spark revival and reformation among our people. And try and dust off some of these old songs. That particular last one that we sang, of course, was right out of the hymnal, but it's arranged by Wayne Hooper, and how many of us know him and the Adventist roots that have come with the King's Heralds and so forth. And so, you know, we were just singing. I just said I'd dress us all in old costumes. And about a month and a half later, I get this phone call from Randy Thornton. And he says, would you be willing to come and teach music at Milo? I'm going, whoa! Thank you, Lord. So I got down here and I shared with the kids my burden. And I said, you know, we want to dress old-fashioned clothes and so forth. And they picked up with it, whether they wanted to or not, I'm not sure. And then I got my wife and I said, you know, we're going to be letting the girls pick out their style that they would like, and the guys pick out their style and their fabric, something that will complement them. And we're going to go in with some old-fashioned revival stuff. And so my wife has been busy ever since then, and even through a broken arm, still sewing.